Well, we all know about President Trump's controversial plans to build a wall along the US-Mexico border while getting Mexico to pay for it. These ideas sound like something you would read about in a medieval history book, but it looks like it might be becoming a contemporary phenomenon, with Turkey and Hungary also taking on the idea. Dr. Bihoy Kantmark from the School of Global Urban and Social Studies at RMIT University says when a wall goes up, the problem is often inside the wall, not outside.
Increased border security, walls, etc., are manifestations of an internal problem of the state more often than not. It's not an external problem, the cause arising. It's often an internal problem. So be it Israel, be it the United States with Mexico, be it Hungary dealing with the onset of Syrian refugees, all of these are manifestations of internal problems, and unless the internal problem is dealt with, and in a sense the external problem is beside the point.
What are some of the biggest issues facing states in the precarious situation of sharing borders with developing states?
Well, a lot of this is a question of whether there's an understanding between these states at different levels of stability, and states will pander to their local interests, of course, to their local population's interests as well, and will react accordingly. So if there is, as of course is the case with Donald Trump's famous rhetoric and now enactment regarding the wall with Mexico, that's an example of where states have differing levels in terms of development, but nonetheless rely on each other in some way, as in Mexico and the U.S., for cheap labor, for example, but on the same time don't want to deal with the consequences of free flow of labor, for example, and capital. So a lot of these things happen because of the disparities of the conditions internally of states and the way that they approach them themselves.
If Australia was to share a border with a failed state, how would that change our approach to national security?
Well, that's a very interesting question. It's the Australian approach to security is almost as if it shared boundaries with failed states. Its attitude, for example, to Indonesia sometimes resembles that of a state, a more developed, advanced state, which certainly economically Australia is relative to Indonesia. But the attitude towards the Indonesians when it comes to, for example, the policing of borders, when it comes to approaching the refugee issue, in some ways is very similar to other states in, for example, Europe, which share landlocked borders and who have different approaches to security. So the Australian approach in many ways resembles that of a landlocked, besieged state, where, of course, it isn't. It has many natural borders and protections. It is very hard to approach from sea and long distances and so forth. And so, you know, I think the attitude, has, to answer your question more or less, is that the Australian attitude resembles that of a landlocked country.
What about the perceptions of the public in, say, Australia or Canada, who aren't faced with the immediate threats that the US or Turkey are faced with? Do you think there can be a lack of perspective there?
Oh, yes, totally. I think there is a lack of perspective, certainly in the context of the, when it comes to the enormity of security issues. Security is the security issue, for example, with refugees, whether they come from Syria, whether they're Christian Syrians, or whether they're Muslim Christian, or Muslim Syrians, rather. All these things demonstrate a complete lack of perspective about the security matters and the whole issue about what this entails. Australia's distance, in particular, has characterized over the years this curious approach to its safety and its perceived danger. And it is an island mentality. It's typical of island mentalities. In many ways, the United Kingdom is similar in terms of its approach to Europe, not of Europe. And so its approach in terms of rhetoric to immigration, certainly recently, in the recent years, is typical of that as well.
Dr. Bihoy Kantmark from the School of Global Urban and Social Studies at RMIT University. Professor Damien Kingsbury is a lecturer from the School of International Relations and Politics at the Deakin University. He notes the differences in the ways states tend to deal with a refugee crisis, depending on how close they are to the conflict zones.
Australia and the United States, they have potentially the greatest capacity to deal with refugees. They're generally wealthy countries and countries which have relatively small refugee flows entering them. But interestingly, the countries which have by far the largest number of refugees, and especially on a per capita basis, much less an economic basis, also developing countries. So if you look at the refugee flows from Afghanistan, they are principally in Pakistan. not elsewhere. If you look at the refugee flows from Syria, they are principally in Jordan, to a slightly lesser extent in Lebanon and Turkey. So really, the Western perception of refugee flows tends to neglect that the principal impact of the flow of refugees, particularly from war zones, is to neighbouring countries, and those neighbouring countries are usually also developing countries and not especially well equipped to handle those refugee flows. Yet in those countries, they tend to be more accepting and tend to do, I think, on balance, a better job of understanding the reasons why people feel the need to flee their countries and the need to house them whilst their crisis situation is resolved.
Professor Damien Kingsbury from the School of International and Political Studies at Deakin University.